Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at Duncan in Brentwood for our toy drive with the Nashville Children's Alliance. Let's talk some NFL with John McClain down in Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Are y'all fired up at the Titans blowing that top pick and dropping into the third spot as it stands now?
There's two things. We're excited about that, and we're also really grateful that you decided not to opt out of this interview and pull a Notre Dame. So
right.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah, they were like little children in a sandbox, picking up their toys and going home because they didn't get their way.
Yep, pretty much. But I tell you what, I watched Sunday Night Football last night, and Houston continues to play very well. They beat Kansas City. I think it's looking like the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs this year. And with the news out of Indianapolis, that's not looking good for them. So is it now Jacksonville and Houston fighting it out for the AFC South?
Let's be honest. The Colts were terrible before Daniel Jones got hurt. You know, so I'm not surprised. Their schedule, they've got Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, and Houston. So even if Daniel Jones was 100%, I don't see them all of a sudden bouncing back from the rut they were already in and turn it around. They're going to be one of those teams that started really well and then crumbled for whatever reason. People figured out, beginning with Pittsburgh, that if you contain Jonathan Taylor and make Daniel Jones beat you, more often than not, he can't do that. So it's Jacksonville and Houston. And right now, Jacksonville and Houston both have one more difficult game. The Jaguars have a one-game lead. They host the Jets, go to Denver, go to Indy, host the Titans. So they should win three of the four, lose to the Broncos. Texans 8-5, they host the Cardinals and Raiders. Then they go to the Chargers, host the Colts. So I'm thinking they're going to lose to the Chargers, so the Jaguars would win the division by one game. If they tied, they split. So I don't have any idea what the tiebreakers would be. But an interesting fact, the Texans in 24 years have never been a wild card team. Eight times they've gone to the playoffs, eight times they've won the AFC South title. And one more thing about their defense that is fantastic is giving up the fewest yards a game since 2009 Jets and the fewest points a game since the Patriots 7 or 8 years ago. But in the two games against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they allowed 413 yards. They had no touchdowns, five interceptions, and the combined rating of Allen and Mahomes was 44.0.
That is, those are some interesting stats for sure. But, man, the fact that they've never made it as a wild card, I had no idea.
That's crazy. You know now.
I do.
People here are talking about Texans and Super Bowl. I said, give me a break. This offense is not nearly good enough to go to the Super Bowl. Look, what the offense just tries to survive and not do anything stupid that's going to hurt the defense and be as not really conservative, but you saw in the third quarter when they had -3 yards, if it wasn't for the defense stopping Andy Reid on 4th and 1 two different times, Chiefs might have won that game. But this offense is just so inconsistent.
When you look at, you know, and maybe the Broncos and Patriots are in their own kind of world, but when you look at the current AFC playoff teams compared to the current NFC playoff teams, I see a disparity. Like, I think the NFC is much stronger this year than the AFC. Do you see the same thing?
I do. I still think the Rams are the best team. I watched the Packers beat the Bears yesterday. They finish at Soldier Field. And there's nobody from the South, of course, who's going to do anything in the playoffs. And the East, the Phillies. The Eagles are just so inconsistent. And I know this. I wouldn't want to play Detroit at home. I wouldn't want to have to go to Detroit in the playoffs because the Lions experience their talent. But right now, it's hard to make a case that the Rams and the Seahawks are not the two best teams in the NFC and maybe the two best in the NFL.
Absolutely. John McClain's with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. I watched that Houston game last night, John, and I love defense. I love a good smothering defense. And I look at Houston, you talk about it, they're remaining four games to go. But what if that offense clicks a little bit, John? It gets a little bit better, a little bit better. I mean, can this team make a Super Bowl run? Because that defense and the way they get after quarterbacks and get after everybody on offense, it's pretty damn good. If that offense comes up a tad, can they get to a Super Bowl?
In a season like this where there's not another dominant team, maybe. They lost to the Rams at L.A. by 5. They lost at Seattle by 8. And they but the offense would have to be a lot better. The running game's not very good at all. And the passing game, and you saw last night, almost every good play Stroud made was on the run because the pass rushers were chasing him like crazy. I thought their offensive line took a major step back last night. They got really lucky with the two long plays in the first half to Nico Collins, who's their best receiver. But you said if Stroud plays a little better, their problem is in the red zone. I was asked on my show in Houston this morning what was the most disappointing thing about the Texans, and I said their embarrassing red zone offense. Going into last night's game, this weekend's games, the only team worse in the red zone are the Saints. That's embarrassing. That's utterly pathetic. And they still struggle up front. It's inconsistent, but I think if you're going to be a wild card team and play three games on the road, you're not going to win, because you might say the offense was good, Joe, for one game. Okay, you might win. They've never won a road playoff game. Every time they won the division and they advanced by winning the wild card game here, they lost in a divisional round.
Oh, man. John, this is not a football question per se, but I had a friend last night that went to the game in Arrowhead. He told me there's between 15 to 20,000 empty seats last night in Kansas City. What is it called? Are Chiefs fans just bored now with winning?
I think you heard them booing early on. I think some of it was the officials, but some of it was the offense, and because they just couldn't get anything going. That's the fewest points Patrick Mahomes has ever scored, and it's also the first time he'd been shut out in the first half of the game since he was a rookie in 2017, even though he only started one game as a rookie. So people, I think, understood it's a dynasty that's dying. Right now, they're way over the cap. The only team's going to be more over the cap is Dallas. So both of those teams are going to have to make some really tough decisions on veteran players by the time the new league year starts in March. And I thought this, Joe, they showed a shot from up high, the blimp, I guess, in the fourth quarter, and the stadium was almost empty. And I thought, you know, this is still a close game. And it never dawned on me there were that many empty seats to begin with. I have not seen the Sea of Red when it wasn't full since the year before Marty Schottenheimer got there in 1990.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Wow. Last night watching
89.
That.
Wow, that's a really good point. John, I mean, this could be a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. With C.J. Stroud now in year three, when you look at the all-time starting quarterbacks for Houston, where does he rank? Obviously, I guess Schaub's in there, David Carr, Deshaun Watson, but where would you put Stroud at this point in his career with the all-time starters with Houston?
Well, first of all, David Carr would not be in there. And first would be Watson. Watson had games like – Watson had games his first couple of years in 17 before he blew out his knee in 18. And he was great in 2020. He had 3.5 what I call great years. Stroud had one great year as a rookie. Now, they made sure that Deshaun Watson had a much better offensive line. And when Matt Schaub was here, Matt had Andre Johnson as receiver, Arian Foster running back. Foster's the best running back in team history. 1 year, he had an offensive line that missed a combined one game. One guard missed one game. So Schaub did really well, too. But I would have to put Stroud, based on his experience, I'd have to put him third. Based on his performance, I'd have to put him second behind Watson.
Okay, that's what I thought you would say. That's pretty much on track. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Hey. Got to have a fiddle on the band. We have John McClain with us on the program, as always, at 2 o'clock on Mondays. When you watched yesterday, John, the comparison between Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland and Cam Ward with the Titans, what stood out to you?
Well, first of all, Sanders has got better receivers, he's got better tight ends, and he's got a better offensive line. And the Titans have a better – I'm not going to say they have a better defense. The Browns have one of the best. But the Titans have a really good run defense. As you guys know, when the quarterback is the leading rusher, you got a problem. So I think Shedeur, you know, he's throwing long passes because he's getting time to throw, and he's hitting – he's thrown like three long passes – to Jerry Jeudy, and now that tight end, Harold Fannin, who's really an H-back, they're using him wisely, like he was used at Bowling Green, all over the field. So they got more talent, and they got a two-time coach of the year. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Shedeur Sanders had a better game, but you know what? Cam Ward won, not Shedeur Sanders.
That is very true. And you mentioned earlier about the Titans, you know, can possibly blowing the number one overall pick. I mean, you know this. Obviously, they need that, and they can use those draft assets. But to go up there and win and not luck into a win like they did in Arizona, what does that do for a team as you try and rebuild moving forward?
Well, let's see. Considering coaches won't be around, a lot of the players won't be around next season. It looks, you know, you're auditioning. You're auditioning right to be kept by the new regime, or you're auditioning for another job. I know nobody wants to hear what I say about the first pick. You can look at the Bears and the Panthers and see what kind of deal. If you know what you're doing and you coach them up and you have everything in place. You know, at this time last year, everybody wanted Ryan Poles fired as general manager of the Bears. And then he hires the best coach out there who is available. So there's a lot of things that go into it. If you're the Titans or the Giants and you have the first overall pick, you're going to trade it. You're going to trade it to a team, I believe, who's going to want Mendoza. The more I watch Mendoza, the more impressed I am, and I think he's going to blow everybody away at his pro day and his private workouts and his lunches and his dinners. And so if the Raiders – you know the Raiders are going to want it. They need a quarterback desperately. So if they could be in position to get him and not have to trade with anybody, but if they're sitting at three and they have to worry about somebody jumping them with the Giants, but the Titans really have taken themselves out of getting a sweetheart deal, it looks like. But you always want to win every time you go on the field. And it was, I know, a big deal for the players to win that game, and a lot of the fans too, but you might regret it in April.
Yeah, right. Crazy, huh? John, yesterday, watched the Broncos Raiders. Somebody made the comment that the Broncos were the worst 11-2 team they've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I asked for context on that, and they couldn't give me that. I don't care how you're 11-2, but the fact that you're 11-2 is pretty damn good.
You're right, Joe. It doesn't matter. Their defense is great. They've won close games in the fourth quarter. Bo Nix has not been consistently good over four quarters, but he has been great in the fourth quarter. And I know this, that game at the end, I've never seen anybody howl about losing money than Dave Portnoy from Barstool, who's caught saying Pete Carroll needs to go to prison and all these things. So he had a lot of money on the outcome that lost on that field goal at the end of the game. But the Raiders are an abomination. It won't surprise me at all if they don't fire Pete Carroll, start all over with the staff, and try to get Mendoza to be their franchise quarterback. At least could give people hope next year. And right now, all they've got is hopelessness.
John, I've been a kind of a secret, quiet Miami Dolphins fan for 30 years or so because I love Dan Marino so much. I think I'm sick to my stomach the fact that this football team keeps winning and Mike McDaniel is going to keep his job.
People knew it was going to happen. All you had to do is look how bad their schedule is. And once they went through that and they fired Greer as the GM about 5 years too late, and McDaniel's there, and they're Tua staying healthy, and they played bad teams, and they won. There's a good chance they're going to win their next one. Isn't that what happened last year? They won late to finish 8-9, and he came back. And I'm guessing it's going to be the same thing. Then they'll hire a new general manager off season, and McDaniel will be gone after next season unless they make the playoffs because the new GM's going to want his head coach.
All right, yeah, exactly. John, I thought it was a big win for the Bills yesterday over the Bengals. So when Burrow comes back, they're just a different team. But Chris Sims said something on TV last night which was interesting. He called Josh Allen this generation's John Elway. And he gave like five examples. And I'm telling you, John, they were spot on when comparing Elway to Allen. Of course, all Allen's missing is a Super Bowl trip. And I think that window might be shutting down. But he's such a good quarterback. As long as he's out there, John, Josh Allen gives that Bills team a chance to win any game.
If you've got a great quarterback like Allen or Mendoza, everybody says Mendoza, Mahomes. Everybody's saying, boy, the Chiefs dynasty's over. They're going to have to rebuild. But as long as you got a great quarterback, you think about everything. You can build in free agency in the draft in a hurry if you've got that quarterback. Think about how good Bengals could have been the last 2 years if they'd had, and I can't remember if they had Burrow for every game last year, but you see the difference when he's back. And in Josh Allen's case, he's bounced back from that terrible Houston game in which he was sacked 8 times to be magnificent. And I covered a lot of every Elway Super Bowl, most of their playoff games. And Allen is bigger than John. John was 6'3" and a half, and he weighed about 220, but he could run. He ran right when he needed to. Josh Allen runs more, and Allen is stronger, but both of them had guns because they had a lot of wind in their stadium, and they needed to be able to throw the ball hard. Elway's receivers had an imprint on their sternum that they would proudly show in the locker room. They had the Elway imprint. And so I'm guessing a lot of those guys have that with the Bills too. But, yeah, I love watching those guys play. And I'm like everybody else. If you get a good snow game where the snow's coming straight down and it's thick, yeah, that is way to watch football. Not like Jacksonville and Indy where it was raining and the wind was blowing. Give me snow. One reason I like those teams from the East and the Midwest to get the playoffs is we got a chance to see snow, especially back that last Packers-Bears game at Soldier Field.
Oh, absolutely. And, John, that's why I like when the Bills are building their new stadium they move into next year. They were like, well, why didn't you build a dome? And they were like, a dome stadium never crossed our mind. And playing outdoors in Buffalo is what we want. I just thought that's great. They didn't give in to a dome. They're still going to play outside where that snow's coming down. And it was beautiful watching that game yesterday. It was absolutely beautiful because of that snow. So you're exactly right about that.
Fans in Buffalo and Green Bay, the more it snows, the more they love it. If it's not snowing and the game's going on and then it starts snowing, they give snow a standing ovation because they think it's an advantage for them. And you noticed last night when Josh Allen was doing TV, it looked like not a fan had left that stadium. Now, there's nothing else to do in Buffalo but curl. And they love the team. And the fact is, they're still going to get some snow on them in the new stadium because most of the time it doesn't just come straight down. It blows, but they eat it up.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Chase and Joe, thank you guys very much. I will look forward to it.
Absolutely. And again, he joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock here on the program. We are live at Duncan in Brentwood today. And, again, the reason we're here is because of our toy drive. We're helping out the Nashville Children's Alliance. So you can stop by with a stuffed toy and donate it to a child this holiday season. And you can also qualify to win a four-pack of tickets in the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to an upcoming Preds home game. Want to send a special thank you to the Metro Nashville Police Department for helping us out with this. The Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Relidyne. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy. We'll come back with more here on Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're at Dunkin' in Brentwood, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane. Tomorrow we're going to be on the east side, East side with Willie D. That's where we'll be. We'll be at 926 Gallatin Avenue in Nashville. So looking forward to that. We're at a different Dunkin' all this week. Just go to thegamenashville.com/toy, and you can find out more.
Love it, man. It's good stuff there with I hate when people say good stuff, because that means
good stuff.
You didn't really listen. You don't care what they said. Good information and discussion with John McClain about the National Football League. And our lovely assistant here was like, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And that's a great question. And I keep looking at the Rams.
Yeah.
I keep looking at the Rams and Stafford, how well they're playing. And their defense is hawking dudes up and down the field. They're just a complete team.
I say the Rams probably makes the most sense. Seattle intrigues me. I would say in the AFC, New England. I mean, I think New England's the best team in the AFC. I think Denver's good, but I thought your question was interesting about them. To me, really, New England and Denver are the only ones that scare me out of the – or not scare me. New England scares me. Denver I respect out of the AFC. But I think in the NFC, Rams, Seahawks, I would have said the Eagles, but they've gone the wrong way.
Like the Highlander, there can only be one.
The Packers. I think the Packers.
There can only be one.
Packers are good.
You got to pick right now. Who do you get? At this moment. You
can
change
tomorrow.
Yeah. You can change tomorrow, but right now there's only going to be one.
Amy Adams Strunk, I hope you're listening. Mike Vrabel.
I think they get bounced in the first. I think it's happening too quick.
I could see that, but you're saying Rams, so I'm going to pick the Patriots.
I value what John McClain says. I think he's massively underestimating the Houston Texans. A defense that's clicking right now. They've won, five straight? Mahomes didn't have a chance last night. He can talk about, them going fourth and one. Well, you still didn't get it because the defense is so – that defense for Houston is so good. And their schedule, the next four, are all winnable games. And they play the Colts at the end of the season. So you ride into the playoffs with a defense like that. Like, we all compare every team to the 85 Bears. Everybody's compared to the 85 Bears. That offense of the Bears was okay. You had McMahon, you had Walter Payton, you had Willie Gault. I mean, Emory Moorhead. You had some good players there, but that defense just took – this Texans defense is outstanding. Watch how the back four play. Watch how the middle linebackers, the Mike and Sam backers play. Watch how the front goes after. I mean, it's a complete defensive unit. It reminds me a lot of the 2000 Ravens. Derek Mason knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
On his way to Circa right now, he's beating that steering wheel. About that. Right, we love you, Derek.
I'm telling you, it was funny for about half a second, and then I was kind of concerned. On 3D, we did, what's a game that, you haven't watched since you watched it live that just broke your heart and just made you mad?
Right.
And Derek said that playoff game against the Ravens. And for whatever reason, he found it on YouTube while he was on the air. He starts watching the game. And we were at Bridgestone Arena, and I literally could see steam coming off his head. And, finally, we had moved on to something else. And finally, you just hear him hit the table. And he's like, man, I got to talk about this for a second. I mean, he went off. He was mad at Al Del Greco. He was mad. He was mad at Eddie
George
for a little bit. It was just like, we should have won that game. We would have won the Super Bowl. All those.
Yeah. Go on. The city
He's
was
not wrong.
The city was electric today because the Music City Miracle in Nashville, nobody expected that, right? Oh, we got a playoff game here. They played terrible for 59 minutes and 52 seconds, whatever it was, won the game. The next year, you're the number one team. It felt good. You're kicking butt left and right. Ah, the Ravens are coming here and all this other. We got this team. And to watch the Ravens just beat them. And
look, that Ravens team, that defense was
yes,
very good.
And Ray Lewis stole the ball from Eddie and all.
No, he stole Eddie's soul.
He did steal his soul. And all that went down at that. You're like, oh, man. And that 2000 Titans team was so good in every aspect, better than the 99 team.
You know what's so funny for Derek? Is he's on both sides of that equation, because I would argue the 2000 Titans team is the best team they have ever put on the field since they have been here, maybe in that franchise's history, but definitely since they've been in Nashville, that's the best team they've ever put on the field. 2008 might be the second. And they were pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to go 19 over
okay.
8.
Okay, that's fair.
Just because I thought 19 was more complete overall. 2008, I know they started 10-0. They didn't have the passing game.
They had the defense.
Had the defense. I just think the 19 team was really – nobody saw that coming. And they just took off. Quarterback change midseason.
Yeah.
But I think they're all good in there together. But
08 and 19 both had a quarterback change. Because didn't Vince start the first game?
Was that the Jags game where they couldn't find him afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then Kerry was the – But, you know, Derek was on the Ravens.
In 08, yeah.
In 08, scored a touchdown in that game. But it was just like, it was just, ah, man. You talk about a team that, and that's why in 19 when they went up to Baltimore and won that game, even though completely different coaching staff, completely different players, it was kind of like exercising some demons of Titans teams past.
You're right. And what was it that somebody, was it Jim White that saw on the bus? They had already had Kansas City, because if Baltimore wins, the Chiefs went to Baltimore, and they had placards already made up for Kansas City Chiefs. I think Jim had a picture of that or something. Nobody expected him to get there, which was great. That's why the 19 season was fun. The 99 season was fun and cute. Your first year here, you win the game, you shouldn't have won. But 2000, man, that team just punished. They punished people. They lost the opening game in 2000 at Buffalo. Remember, Mike Roan blew his knee out. Then they rallied, man. They just took off. That Monday night game where they beat the Jags. They beat the Redskins up in D.C.
Yep.
Beat the snot out of them. Then they come here, their number one seed, feeling good. And the Ravens did it. And that's why the win in 03 up in Baltimore playoff game was so sweet, because it was revenge. It was payback. And you knocked off the Ravens that time. The Ravens were supposed to be really, really good. And that didn't happen. Titans beat them. A lot of history so far, man, for the franchise. You know, go back 25 years, like, what can we expect the next 25? And there we had it.
And the sad part is, and one of our PAs here asked, like, what do you think is going to happen when they get to the new stadium? I have no faith right now. Just as long as this ownership's in place.
Right.
I mean, look, I you know, I could be wrong, and statistics would tell you that I probably will be wrong, that If you let Borgonzi do what we think he can do, and they rebuild this roster, and you know, get the quarterback, whether it's Cam Ward or somebody else, then yeah, they could get back to that point. But it feels so far away from 99, 2000, 2008, 2019. Like, it just feels so far away that I don't see them getting to that again.
And they need to do the jersey reveal like they did in 99, and the guys come out, put the jersey on.
Yeah,
that was kind of, because I think they'll get new jerseys moving into the new stadium. I hope they do anyway for all that. But it was a fun time. But now we sit there and they're 2-11. But anyway, going back to our conversation, I just think the Texans right now with that defense, I mean, they were fun to watch last night. They were a lot of fun to watch last night because Mahomes had nowhere to go. Nowhere. And Kelsey's done. Poor guy.
Yeah. No, he needs to hang it up at the end. And look, what I will be curious of, because everybody wants to compare the Chiefs, because they've won their three, to the Patriots of the 2000s and the 2010s. The Patriots, and I thought about this. So if the Chiefs missed the playoffs, Brady never missed the playoffs except for the year he got hurt, and it was Matt Castle.
Right, the 08 season.
Yeah. Like, they never – I think I'm right on that. They never missed the playoffs.
I think you're correct.
So, Mahomes would have that against him. Now, can they retool the roster? Because, again, like I was talking to some people about this last night, this they've been avoiding this for the last couple of years because, quite frankly, the roster head to toe hasn't been that great.
For New England?
No, for Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Like, they haven't had the go-to stud receiver, but they had Kelce. And Mahomes covered up a lot of things. Mahomes is one of those guys that, you know, he could make Dr. Crane look, you know, like a pretty good receiver.
Dr. Crane!
Hey, you know? I can catch one out of the backfield.
I'm sure catch you could. Fist. I'm sure if Patrick Mahomes said, hey, I want you to run 20 yards downfield and cut left, you could do that and catch the ball.
Touchdown every time.
He would throw you open. And you could be going up against Kevin Byard, and he'd throw you open. But they don't have, you know, those receivers. I think the O-line's been a little beat up. So they haven't really addressed some issues that they've probably needed to address for a long time, and now it's finally caught up to them.
I totally agree. And it happens to every team. It happens to every team at some point. That's going to go on. You're going to lose your top guys, and then you got to reevaluate and then rebuild. Patriots never did it because Brady had that system of, like, drafted well, and if you want a second contract, you can go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just take, and then he found Edelman and Amendola and Wes Welker and guys like that. I mean, you think about his great receivers that Brady had there, Randy Moss, and they didn't win a Super Bowl, Randy Moss.
I know,
right,
it didn't which is
happen.
Crazy.
Yeah, right? So,
like, the best NFL team of all time, in some people's minds, didn't win the Super Bowl. Which should negate, you know, a lot of people would say that should negate them from being considered the best of all time.
Right?
But,
okay.
Like, that team in 20, whatever year that was.
2007.
That team was probably the best ever to be put together.
You can say probably all day long.
It was.
But you didn't win it.
Right.
So you got to win. You got to be undefeated to win the Super Bowl. Now, were the 72 Dolphins the greatest team ever?
No.
But they were undefeated. Right. So they earned the title of doing that. I think you got to win a championship to be considered in a team.
Correct.
The greatest ever. Now, don't.
Now, statistically, the, you know, numbers like that, okay. But you're right.
Yeah.
They didn't win.
That's why the argument.
Vrabel was on that team, too.
He was. The argument to me, all people always bring up, because I love Marino, wow, he didn't win a Super Bowl. I understand that. But as a quarterback, a position player, he was, the greatest of all time. Now, for teams, you got to win a championship. I know it's 50-50. I get that. But they didn't win it. That for the Dolphins, that team in 72 is considered the greatest ever. Look, the 85 Bears, you know who the 85 Bears lost to?
Dolphins.
Monday Night Football.
Yep.
Because Fisher told us a story about going down the Orange Bowl and how chaotic it was and all that. But
it was close, too, wasn't it?
38-24. Marino was on fire that game.
Yeah.
On fire that game. So it happens.
Did the Dolphins lose to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game?
Look at you, buddy. You knew who the center of that Patriots team was?
Trevor Maddich. And then who was the quarterback?
Neck roll.
He wore a neck roll?
Hasselbeck and I talked about it last week.
I don't know.
Number 14. Steve Grogan.
There you go.
Wore the neck roll, and then the Bears met him in the playoffs, on Super Bowl, sorry.
They didn't have a chance.
Richard Dent, that defense, all those guys. And then I'll never forget, JoJo walked down memory lane. 2 days later, after that, Challenger exploded.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget.
Wow.
Getting old, Chase.
Yeah, well, I'm right there. Don't worry. I'm realizing that with each passing day. Coming up next, what day is it? And celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. If the group texts and on-air conversations or off-air conversations ever got out about this show, we'd be done.
I think I would just like take care. I'd be like Fort Hancock, Texas, please. Like, give me a bus ticket.
Somebody comes out to be like, "Is this you?" I'm like, all right, y'all be good. We'll see you.
I'm going to San Juan. I'll see you on the beach. You and Dr. Crane. I'll be scrubbing. You guys come walking up. I was like,
me,
oh,
Dr.
Right.
Crane, Ricky, we just come walking up. Like, what's up?
Oh, my gosh.
With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right. First on the list, we have Take It in the Ear Day is what it says. Yeah, take
what?
It says Take It in the Ear Day. That's exactly what it says.
Ear?
Ear.
Make sure I heard that right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Pretend to be
what?
A time traveler day is today. Look, I don't make these. Whoever owns this.
I think you do.
I may
promise
need to be time travelers right now.
I'll
time
screenshot
travel out of
this and send it to the both of you. National Christmas Tree Day is today. National Lard Day. Green Monday. National Brownie Day and National Crossword Solvers Day. So,
nice.
Yeah, what a day.
Hey, quick question. The picture for lard, is it a picture of me? I'm just curious.
No, it is definitely
it's probably me.
It's a square. I don't know. It looks like just a bunch
just
of
saying,
lard.
Yeah, it's one of us. All right.
I don't know. Somebody tweeted at us about a receding hairline earlier. So.
I could get it, yeah. As long as you're just taking in the ear, doesn't matter.
All right. I'm screenshotting and sending it to you all.
No, we're good.
We're good, buddy.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right. Time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Chase, you go first. How old is former ESPN talk show host, great show, Roy Firestone?
Roy Firestone.
72.
Not to be confused with Roy, Wally. Dr. Crane, Heisman Trophy winner George Rogers.
67.
82. 67, dead on.
Wow. Nice job.
Chase McCabe, Jeff George, former number one overall draft choice.
He was an Oilers quarterback, wasn't he?
He was not.
Was he not?
No, sir.
Lions?
Nope. He played with the Falcons, the Colts, and the Raiders. How do I know that? Fantasy football.
I was about to say, you know these things. I'm going to say Jeff George is 62.
67.
58. Dr. Crane, Mike Mussina, pitcher for the Orioles.
63.
58. 57. Tied at 2. I think he pitched for the Yankees, too, for a spill.
I believe he did.
All right, Chase, you proclaim to be NASCAR's man, how old is Kevin Harvick?
Oh, the Harvinator. 50.
52.
Folks, he is the voice of NASCAR for a reason. Kevin Harvick is 50 years old today. Good Lord.
Happy birthday, Happy.
You're up 4-2. Dr. Crane, Ryan Newman.
48.
I think that might be it.
48 exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking so.
Chaser, how old is, and this is where I get in an argument with people, how old is Brent Snedeker, as y'all like to refer to him as. Brent Snedeker, today's his birthday.
44.
46.
45, that's a push.
Oh.
We were just talking about him earlier. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Philip Rivers. How old is Philip Rivers?
He's got to be like 44.
43.
44, exactly. Dr. Yeah. Crane's up 6-4. Chase, you go. Drew Doughty.
The hockey player?
The hockey player.
Drew Doughty, I'm going to say, is 38.
37.
36. Dr. Crane's up 7-4. Dr. Crane, how old is Kim Basinger?
54.
Kim Basinger. Basinger. 70.
72. We got a ball game at 7-5. Chase, they're real and they're spectacular. You know who said that?
It's from a movie.
It's from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Terry Hatcher. How old's Terry Hatcher today?
64.
67.
61. All right, we got a few left here. Dr. Crane, how old is guitar player Phil Collin of Def Leppard? He's the one without the shirt. Yeah, he never wears a shirt.
Isn't that all of them?
Right?
66.
71.
68. Dr. Crane's up 8-5. Chase gets to go now. How old is country singer Marty Raven?
77.
Shenandoah.
Oh.
70.
66. Chase, how old are Dr. Crane, how old is how old is country singer Sam Hunt?
36.
35.
41. One more so Dr. Crane get to 10. How old, Chase, is let's see here. How old is lead guitar player Marty Friedman from Megadeth?
56.
63. Dr. Crane wins 8-5. I tried, Dr. Crane, to get you there.
Man.
Thank you.
I mean, there was two I knew that were dead on that he got. That.
Ah, don't blame him for that.
I'm not blaming him.
Sounds like
congratulations.
PR. Notre Dame. That's fine. Sorry about that, Dr. Crane.
It's all right. Just go to confession.
Do we have to if we're not? You really don't want us Protestants going to confession because we got a lot to confess. Like Dr. Crane, you're Catholic, right?
Yes.
You get it all out at one time. Us Protestants let it build up. So we go in there. We're going to spend hours in that booth. That's not a good thing.
I mean, there's some Catholics out there. They hold it in for like 2 to 3 years, and then they go, you know what, I'll go to confession.
Okay.
Notre Dame didn't hold it in. They just said, we're done.
Yeah, we're
they said, we're out.
Yeah, we'll confess. We're not being part of this. And we're going to go home.
That's going to do it for us today. Again, you can stop by all these Dunkin' locations. Go to thegamenashville.com/toy, and you can find out which ones you can drop off stuffed toys at. But we're excited to partner up with Dunkin' this week and be at all these different ones. We're in East Nashville tomorrow. DVD is up next.
You know, we talk about this time of the season, the mental health for everybody out there. It's a tough time, the Christmas season, but help's available. Just go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. There's information for Unity Psychiatric Care. We just need you to talk to somebody. We need you here. Look, dark clouds move out for beautiful skies, so beautiful things await you. Know that you're loved. Know that your journey is special. It's your journey, and it's beautiful. And know we love you, and more importantly, more than anything in the world, this is so important, know that God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming your way from Circa Sports Kentucky next on 102.5 The Game.